You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
If you're over 25, chances are that you don't know what YOLO means. It's become a popular buzzword for high school and college students, although its roots go back perhaps to the late 19th century. Ben Zimmer, language columnist for the Boston Globe and executive producer of the Visual Thesaurus and Vocabulary.com, joins us now to talk about the YOLO phenomenon and other new examples of slang. Welcome back to our show.
Thanks for having me.
So what does YOLO mean?
YOLO is an acronym, and it stands for You Only Live Once. And it became especially popular this year, particularly because of a song by the rapper Drake called The Motto. And he incorporated this acronym YOLO into the song. And after that, it really just spread like wildfire.
And can you give me an example of how it might be used? I understand it could be a verb, a noun, an adjective,
that's
an
true,
adverb.
That's true.
Anything.
Usually just a kind of an interjection, which you can append to something you're writing or something you're saying about usually some sort of youthful indiscretion, often as an excuse for bad behavior. So you could just say, oh, I got so wasted last night, YOLO. Or you could talk about something that you're going to do in the future. And so it can express this carpe diem sentiment of, well, might as well do this, even if it might seem like a bad idea. Why not? YOLO. You only live once.
It is being described by people who don't love the phrase as the stupid person's version of carpe diem.
That's right. You know, carpe diem obviously has classical roots to it, and this is a modern version of it, which you know, which really has taken off for not always the best reasons. But it's funny, and people might use it to talk about getting drunk or doing something else stupid. But that also means that there's been a bit of a backlash as well by people who are annoyed at the YOLOers, the ones who are indulging in the YOLO lifestyle.
Well, I suspect this is the kind of fad that doesn't last all that long, and yet we see people having YOLO tattooed on their bodies.
That's true. Zac Efron, the young actor, had a YOLO tattoo even before this whole trend started. It's interesting. I mean, the actual expression seems to encapsulate something about living your life for the moment when you're young, and we wouldn't expect the expression necessarily to last for very long. It would be somehow fitting if it kind of burnt out quickly, but so far it's been hanging on. It's proved surprisingly popular among young people and has been spreading online through things like Twitter and other social media, as well as in face-to-face interaction.
Well, you're famous for being able to track the origins of phrases. Do we know the first time that YOLO, You Only Live Once, appeared in print?
Well, we can look through digitized databases of old literature and try to find those exact words, you only live once. The earliest that's been noted so far comes from 1896, a translation of Balzac's The Human Comedy. And that's a translation of the equivalent French expression. French had an expression like that. German had an expression like that, which was used as the title of waltz by the younger Johann Strauss in 1855. So there are plenty of precursors to this. But it was really in the 20th century that it became a well-known catchphrase. There was a movie in the 1930s with that title. There were lots of funny spins on it. The comedian Joe E. Lewis said, you only live once, but if you work it right, once is enough. Some people think that might have been from Mae West, but Joe E. Lewis, the comedian, was using that in the 50s. And, of course, in the 60s, you have You Only Live Twice, the James Bond movie with the song by Nancy Sinatra. So it's been kicking around for a while, but the shortened YOLO form, we can find examples of that in the 1990s. There was a clothing line that was using it in the early 1990s, YOLO, You Only Live Once. But it was really just this past year that it took off as a real phenomenon.
Although you point out that people under 25, some of them anyway, are already getting sick of YOLO, while most people over 25 have probably never even heard it. Is slang usually created by and used by a specific demographic?
Very often it works that way. It can spread in a particular subculture. In this case, we're talking about young people in general. And so slang terms can be a kind of shibboleth. That's a term that refers to something that marks one group from another. And very often it has a purpose. It serves sort of sociologically for marking an in-group from an out-group. You either know it or you don't know it. And so something like YOLO, though, as it becomes more known among older people, then it kind of loses that generational cachet.
And are we seeing older people use it? I know Katie Couric has been using it.
Yeah, Katie Couric.
I think she's over 25.
She certainly is. And that shows the kind of the mainstreaming of YOLO, where Katie Couric has picked up on it for her new syndicated talk show, which is starting pretty soon, later this month. And she is encouraging viewers to send in videos. And the segment is called What's Your YOLO? And the way she's using it, it means what do you want to do before you die? What do you want to cross off your bucket list? So it's different from how it had been used previously by younger people. And so with Katie Couric latching onto it and others picking up on it, it may no longer really signify a kind of in-group knowledge for young people anymore.
And that would suggest that it's about to go out of style. So if you use YOLO 5 years from now, would it suggest that you're behind the times?
Yeah, or maybe not even 5 years from now. I mean, these trends move so quickly.
I was trying to be kind.
It's interesting. One of the things I do is I'm chair of the New Words Committee for the American Dialect Society, and we look at what the word of the year is. We gather to consider words that became popularized over the past year. So when we consider what was popular in 2012, I'm sure YOLO will be in the mix. But by the time we reach year's end, YOLO may really seem passé. I mean, again, these trends bubble up so quickly and they can fade away just as quickly.
But isn't there a YOLO county in Southern California? Do we have any idea of how the people there think about this word?
I don't think they're very happy about this. They've been YOLO county for a long time. In fact, there was someone complaining from Davis Patch, someone who had been trying to publicize things happening in the county, and he used the YOLO hashtag on Twitter to mark things that were going on in YOLO County, but now he has to compete with the silly things that people are putting on and the dumb behavior that gets marked YOLO. But he says he's going to hold on to it. He figures it's going to die out soon, and so he shouldn't worry too much about it.
Although hashtag is another one of those words that nobody knew a few years ago.
That's true. I mean, very often our new technology and new media help to spread these things. And a hashtag is a nice example of something that just emerged on Twitter and has become so common now that it even can work itself into conversation. So instead of just simply saying YOLO at the end of your sentence, you could say hashtag YOLO, where you're actually imitating the form that you see in a tweet on Twitter.
Well, you said that the popularity of YOLO started largely through a record by Drake. Isn't that the way a lot of slang was spread through the culture in the past?
That's true.
Even phrases like uptight, things like that.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, popular music obviously can play a very large role in it. You can look at television shows and other other cultural touchstones that have helped to spread new forms of slang and other new language. But these days, it doesn't necessarily require that kind of mass media that everybody is consuming on television or radio or a song. It can actually just bubble up in internet culture itself. There's a kind of an egalitarian impulse, I think, where people are coming up with funny jokes, funny taglines, catchphrases, buzzwords on their own, and they can spread virally that way on the internet these days without necessarily having a song or a TV show that you're referring to.
And I would assume that that means there are fewer regionalisms. There are fewer slang words that just wind up in one area rather than another.
I'm not sure that's true. I mean, there's certainly a kind of, an ability for people not just around the country but around the world to pick up on new linguistic phenomena quickly. That doesn't mean that we're losing the regionalisms along the way. In fact, new regionalisms can can crop up, and you can still find regional slang. Even if it's being used online, it can be something that's more particular to people from New York or Philadelphia, other cities, for instance. So that kind of regional style is still there. Again, sometimes to mark an in-group status where it becomes part of your local identity.
My guest is Ben Zimmer, language columnist for the Boston Globe. We're talking about new words. One of the new words is actually goes back not all that long, is memes. Internet memes are another source of catchphrases and slang and jokes. What qualifies as a meme exactly?
That's a good question. And the word meme has been used for all of the things that we've been talking about, jokes, linguistic expressions, and that sort of thing that may spread online and internet culture. And the term itself goes back to 1976, Richard Dawkins in the book The Selfish Gene. He was an evolutionary biologist who was looking for something to describe cultural behavior, information, or cultural ideas that get spread around. And like a gene, a meme can self-replicate, it can mutate. And so this idea of the meme has really taken off, particularly with internet culture, because there are so many modes of transmission. If you're looking at something like YOLO, for instance, you can say, okay, well, there was the song, but then look at how it was used, for instance, as a hashtag on Twitter or on Facebook or all the various social media outlets that are available now, as well as the sort of the traditional oral face-to-face interaction. You can look at instant messaging and the different forms of communication we have available to us. And so you can look at these examples, these memes, and really track how they spread.
Well, can you explain the certain style of writing and speaking that came from the LOL cats meme? Of course, this follows the general acceptance of LOL as an acronym.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there can be sort of whole subcultures devoted to particular memes or classes of memes. And so you start with just LOL, laugh out loud. And then the lolcats phenomenon involved taking images of cats, usually other animals, and having them say things that are intentionally misspelled or intentionally peculiar in their representation, as if the cat is speaking in this strange way. And so the whole lolcats phenomenon spread over the past few years, coming out of earlier trends of playful misspelling online, but putting them together with images of cats or what have you has become a popular thing, and it's called an image macro. So that's another kind of meme that combines text and imagery. You can also have, musical or video memes as well spreading.
A listener, Eric from Park Slope, wonders if you can define what a troll is.
Troll is certainly an internet phenomenon that you might describe it as someone who intentionally tries to stir up trouble in some sort of online forum by saying provocative things. And that's been a feature of internet culture since the 90s, at least. Usenet forums often talked about people trolling, where they were just trying to start a flame war. That's another sort of internet-specific term, just to have fun, just for the lols, as you might say. And lols would be spelled L-O-L-Z.
Now, other phrases that were new to me, but I'm sure well-known to people of a certain age, double rainbow, honey badger. Then there's FOMO, which is an acronym, and GOAT, another acronym. All these things just the result of things that have happened on the internet?
The ones that you named have been internet memes that you could look at, something like Double Rainbow or Honey Badger. Those are both things that started from YouTube videos that people uploaded and just became catchphrases as people shared them and were, enjoying this communal experience of watching these YouTube videos.
And what about FOMO and GOAT?
Well, FOMO is the fear of missing out, which when you're overloaded with all of these different sources of information, you're trying to keep up with everything, that's a common anxiety. And you could even put that together with YOLO. If you don't know what YOLO means and you think you've missed the boat, you might suffer from YOLO FOMO.
Would a list of slang be pretty much the same at the University of California or the University of Montana or Columbia University?
Well, there are professors at different schools that keep track of slang. Connie Ebley, for instance, at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, has been doing this for a couple of decades now, having students in her class compile lists of the latest slang items.
And a new one each semester.
That's right. And we actually see YOLO shoot up to the top of the list in the spring semester when it wasn't even there the previous semester. That sort of shows, again, how quickly these things spread. Something like YOLO certainly would be found, in college slang and colleges around the country and high schools around the country, for that matter. And other examples from Professor Ebley's lists, for instance, shortenings like saying totes for totally or cray for crazy. You could also double that up with cray-cray. Those are other popular examples that you would certainly find across the board in different parts of the country.
Well, they sound like rad used to sound.
Exactly. There's nothing particularly new about these sort of slang shortenings, but we get new batches of them all the time.
Are you seeing Twitter hashtags creating new slang phrases? First world problem comes to mind.
First world problem is, that's an interesting one that is a kind of an ironic commentary on one's own situation. If you are on Twitter and you say, my car's in the shop, how am I going to get to the airport to fly to my vacation in the Caribbean? Then you could refer to that as a first world problem. We also see white girl problem as well. So those were things that were certainly popularized as Twitter hashtags. And we find when, we ask young people that they use them in speech as well. And so hashtag first world problem or hashtag white girl problem could actually get attached ironically to be a kind of a self-deprecating commentary on one's own situation and the complaints and how you might have and how they really don't matter in the big scheme of things.
All of this suggests that we can live in the same country and have no clue as to what a lot of people are doing. We probably can live a perfectly wonderful life without knowing any of these things, never using YOLO or honey badger or any of those things.
This is true, but at the same time, if you have a child who is a high schooler, for instance, and you want to know what he or she's talking about, then sometimes you may require a bit of decoding. But again,
and that's a first world problem, isn't it?
Yeah. So these things, sometimes they're generational, but we do want to sort of understand sometimes what the code is, even if we're not taking part in it ourselves.
So is YOLO going to be the word of the year, do you think?
Well, again, it's very difficult to predict these things. They come and go. At the beginning of 2012, everybody was talking about Linsanity when Jeremy Lin was the sensation for the New York Knicks. Now he's not even playing for the New York Knicks. And so Linsanity has left New York, at least. But we'll see. I mean, there are all sorts of things that pop up at the time. I can, just at the Republican National Convention when Clint Eastwood was berating the chair that was supposed to represent President Obama, that immediately led to a new meme called Eastwooding, where people were taking pictures of themselves chastising an empty chair and uploading that. And that's part of a whole category of photo fads, and this is the latest one.
And when Jeremy Lin went to Houston and signed a contract that contained a poison pill, that's another thing that we kind of figure out even if we haven't heard it before.
Yeah, something like poison pill has more of a kind of a metaphorical force to it. We can figure it out because we can understand how the metaphor applies to different situations. So that's a popular way that new forms of language spread or maybe apply to different situations. And that's often very much how you can see if something is really successful, to look at how it applies to different situations. If Linsanity is just about Jeremy Lin, well, that'll stay pretty localized, perhaps. But something like YOLO has a way of being kind of modular. It can really apply to different situations, and it can mutate in very interesting ways, and people develop variations on the theme.
Ben Zimmer is a language columnist for the Boston Globe, executive producer of the Visual Thesaurus and Vocabulary.com, and a frequent contributor to this show. It's always great to see you.
Always great to be here.
Anything in the on the horizon? What will we be talking about next, do you think?
Well,
I'm scared to ask, actually.
Well, we'll keep an eye on the end of the campaign season for things that will come up. But, for instance, last week nobody could have predicted Eastwooding becoming popular with Clint Eastwood, so it can be very unpredictable.
Thanks again.
Thank you.